And welcome to, welcome to Post Game Podcast after a lovely homecoming afternoon. Gorgeous weather. There was a game, I guess, but it was gorgeous. Trees are turning. It's homecoming at Old Mizzou. It's a good time to be a Missouri Tiger fan. I guess we should spend 2 minutes or less talking about the game. Oh, by the way, I'm Bill. Got here Ross. Got here Boom, ready to make a Reggie Ball comment at some point in the next 20 minutes. And we've got my wife playing on the iPhone back behind us here. Hi, dear. Okay. All right, so 2 minutes or less. I appreciate that Texas didn't mess around and give us any kind of false hope today. I thought the linebackers, Missouri's linebackers, played well. As Seth prances over with corn on the cob.
Did not prance.
Oh, it was
a strut.
I will show you prance.
It was a strut.
This was kind of a weird first half because I left thinking, you know, the linebackers played well. D-line played all right. Denaire Alexander played pretty well. And we were down 35-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
Texas just... We made Texas play well, and they played really, 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 really well.
And Texas earned some second-place votes in the national polls this week.
Yeah, Florida kind of messed around. Alabama needed two blocked field goals to beat Tennessee. So they seized their opportunity here. And, I mean, power to them. They're just better. They're bigger, stronger, faster. It's just, I can't even... Does anybody have anything to add to the game before we just completely wipe the slate and move on?
It's good corn.
GHTD is on his way over. But I heard you say something about Nario. Where would this team be right now without Nario?
We'd be 4-3.
He made some incredible catches in this game.
I think we'd be 4-3.
He made some incredible
even
catches.
Nevada?
I think we beat Nevada by a will of attrition or battle of attrition. Stronger wills.
Will Ebner of attrition?
It's good corn.
Okay, so turning the page on the last three games, nobody on the schedule the rest of the way is anywhere close to as good as the last two teams we played, and really almost not as good as Nebraska either.
I'm not so sure at K-State isn't our toughest game.
Yeah.
Remaining.
I mean, we don't want to underestimate Kansas and all that, but that's a long way away. Right now we've got Colorado, Baylor, Kansas State, Iowa State, the next four games. Missouri's 4-3 right now. They would have to play poorly to not be 8-3. And so really at this point, it's all about figuring out how to turn the page and make sure everybody is sticking together and ready to kick some ass, because schedule's wide open at this point.
And of course, we're all presuming it's not Jimmy Costello's team.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it will be.
I'm very much presuming that it's not Jimmy Costello's team.
Yeah, Gabbert was just standing on silence. He didn't have a cast or anything.
I don't think he was even wrapped. He was just standing.
But Lambert got hurt today.
First play of the game.
Yeah. Lambert was in sweats by the second half.
Which is strange because we saw them positioning his shoulder, but then they put their shoulder pads back on him and they put his jersey back on. And I don't know that he played again, but it just seemed like, if you're positioning and strengthening that shoulder, I don't know why you'd put the shoulder pads back on. It would seem that one would not necessarily jive with the other.
Yeah, I mean, the goals for this game were to play decent, which, I mean, some units did, but overall, obviously, that didn't really happen. To keep the chemistry going fine, I saw no reason that we can presume that the team's falling apart here, and to stay healthy, which we did, except for Gabbert running the ball for no reason whatsoever.
And present our two NFL draftees this year, Sean Witherspoon and Denaire Alexander, highlight footage.
That's right.
So that Mel Kiper can talk over it.
That was a fantastic interception by Witherspoon.
Yeah,
I did not see that.
And then Gatchkar almost had the same on the next play.
Malcolm Williams can only catch a ball if it's deflected first.
Yeah, I mean, really, I would be really happy about this situation right now if there was just like a store of good luck or bad luck, and we've now gone through most of it with the tipped interception, the Jared Perry drop where I looked away and then I looked up and a Texas guy's running down the sideline and I have no idea what just happened. It's just been some bad bounces, some bad play, some bad youth, lots of bad things.
Can we talk about the refs real quick?
Sure, go ahead.
Just for a second. Mac Brown, every time he, got up a little head of steam, came running off the sideline, yelled at the refs, he pretty much got that call.
But he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
I got yelled at for taking a picture of him.
Ooh, nice.
By whom?
By some guy who looked like Mac Brown's son. who I think was probably like
Stumpy
their SID
Brown?
Or
was it the kid that touched the ball in the Holiday Bowl?
It very well might have been him.
Chris Jesse?
I don't know if I realized that. Fame. It could have been him. But like I was behind the bench, and apparently you're not supposed to take pictures
of
Texas when you're behind their bench. So I got yelled at that for that.
God forbid the game was probably in question at that point. You know, right. We were down 28-0 before we had
the ball. We were
Mac Brown's face. Apparently, they don't think he's that photogenic.
It is apparently illegal to touch a Texas quarterback when they are in the field of play, whether they're along the sideline or in the backfield.
Seth was the most rational about the Jaquise Smith penalty, just that it was a nice hit, but it's been called all year.
It's been called all year. I'm not saying that it's a good movement to be calm. I think it continues the wussification of the quarterback position both in the college and the pro, but unfortunately any defensive end on that or any defensive player on that hit, you have to go at the numbers.
You either have to block the pass or go for the tackle. You can't do both.
You know, 5 years ago, man, we did, you know, that's a great hit and no penalty, but now that's anywhere close to the head, they're calling.
Yeah,
and the one with McCoy, you know, yeah, he had slowed up, and the first three replays were like, oh that's bad. Oh, he was just barely a foot out of bounds.
Yeah,
on that.
It was a lot closer. Once we saw the one view, it was a lot closer to not being an illegal hit. But
that's the same exact hit that Chase took in College Station in 2006, though, where he slowed up going to sideline, which is a dumb move in the first place, and gets destroyed.
He does that.
To 2006, at least.
I don't know what I did last week. You've got 2006 just at your fingertips.
And he wasn't even not moving and getting a promotion.
He wasn't even a Mizzou student, and he remembers that.
Oh,
so
how go now.
Yeah, how do you? What do you remember from 1994 Mizzou football?
Mizzou football. I remember nothing from Mizzou football in '94. I remember Mizzou basketball in '95.
That wasn't the question.
Sorry. I don't remember anything Mizzou '94. I remember that Larry Smith was going to be the coach, and I knew who Larry Smith was, and I thought, oh. Cool. That's all I had.
All right, so we've killed 7 minutes of well, actually, I think this has probably been more entertaining than if we actually talked about the game, really. But all right, so here's the question for everybody. So Seth can go get some more corn or whatever.
No, I gotta go.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
to get more corn.
So what do you need to see? Like at this point, it's very clear that 5-3 at best.
We were going entertainment.
So it's pretty clear that 5-3 at best is going to win the North this year, if 5-3 wins the North this year. What do you need to see from Missouri starting next week to believe that Missouri can finish the Big 12 play 5-3?
Well, we need to score more points than our opponent by the end of the game.
This is the greatest theory of all time.
That's what I need to see next week, because for us to go 5-3, we will need to score more points than our opponent at the end of the game next week.
You can go anytime you want.
Thank you.
I don't know if you guys already went over this.
Not really,
but maybe see more Kendall. Seemed like he broke open a lot of big plays.
All the running backs had a pretty solid night, though.
Yeah.
It seemed like it started with Kendall. Though. Yeah. The running game started with Kendall.
When he wasn't tripping over himself.
Yeah. Fielding a kickoff and running sideways 15 yards in the end zone before actually coming out and getting about 8 yards.
Kick return, though, right?
Yeah, and then Simmons was right back on the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the offense really is the issue here. I mean, I realize we gave up a ton of points and yards today, but I just really can't get myself that concerned about the defense, because front seven played pretty well, and the D-backs were just outmatched. They're not going to be outmatched until the Kansas game. Oh, God, Seth's coming back.
I've got a great story from where my folks were sitting. I guess the guy behind them had pointed to this woman and said that she had smuggled in beer in her bra. And so my folks said, all right, well, that's kind of impressive. One reason, no, she had smuggled in at least a six-pack in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So all back to the boobs comment from earlier. It's full circle.
Thank you.
Okay. He pranced back over here, by the way, to tell
you know,
that story.
You mistake my prance for like an old fat guy run.
It was like a quick saunter.
I have a good quick... I don't have anything quick.
Why are our podcasts so much entertaining after losses? After wins, we're all business.
Yeah,
and after
like,
the loss,
yeah, was,
we're just shooting
well,
crap.
Honestly, I think we do what we wish a lot more Missouri fans would do and just not take this personally and move on with the
life.
Man,
it was a gorgeous day today.
It was gorgeous.
Great tailgate. The Bacon-A's was in play.
Bacon-A's was involved. Made my day.
The guac
was fantastic.
Made was delicious.
Good Bloody Mary.
The cheese
today.
The cheese
the
from... Like, from Mrs. Bill Steaming so great.
Now. Have we thoroughly pissed off our listeners yet?
No, because the five of us would be the only three.
That's not fair. Hey, we get a lot of people that are like, hey, why aren't you podcasting?
Yeah, that's right.
Anymore?
We don't know if they're listening, but, you know, because every time we post one, they're like, what, no iTunes yet? Yeah. And so now I haven't really, I still haven't gotten around to that. It's probably the easiest thing in the world, but, you know, why please your listeners too much?
Hey, I still have the old Tiger Board ones on a disc somewhere.
Tiger Board Radio, that's...
You can load those
that's
up.
That's something.
Yeah, on the plus side, Missouri won the black and gold game yesterday.
That is true.
We could talk about that for a minute.
We could.
We do need to talk about that, actually.
Well, this
I'm
is Positivity
step
Week.
I wasn't there. So.
This is Positivity Week, so there's no more positive subject than Mizzou basketball right now, which 12 months ago would have been the least fathomable thing I could have possibly said.
After the Oklahoma State game.
Go look up the Oklahoma State game. This guy right here, that'd be your eBay auction. Made a crack about the basketball team that I wish I could take back right now.
Well, they needed that. They heard that. And they turned it all around.
Use it as fuel.
Disrespect, Rar.
All right, so, I was in St. Louis last night. You guys talk about the black and gold game.
JJ, you start off. I'll follow you.
Guards dominated it, obviously.
Because we don't have much of a front court.
That's not a positive thing to say.
I'm sorry.
That's not a front court. If we're looking...
Because the back court
so
was too good.
In our front court.
If we're looking... No, there could be.
Exactly.
Lawrence Bowers grabbed 9 boards. Safford had 14 or 15. The front court was really not the best part of it. I mean, Gal Paul scored 19. Mike Dixon had 22 despite fouling out in the first half. Kim English pulled the trigger on just about everything and hit just about everything. Other than that, it was just, I thought they played pretty well. They just treated it as another practice, and
I want to go back and look up how many people attended last year's black and gold game.
Probably
pretty
not
sure,
5,000.
Pretty sure it wasn't 5,000.
Yeah.
Anybody else? I cut him off for that just vital piece of.
Kim English. Kim English at times looked a little tentative taking shots. Other times he looked really fluid. Like, you know, he has been doing this all summer.
By the second half, he looked supremely confident he was going to put the ball up from anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, because his first couple shots, he didn't have the touch. They were off by more than a couple of inches. But then when he found his stroke, he was just draining it from everywhere.
He doesn't look that explosive trying to drive the ball. I expected him to be a little bit better at that than he is. But he really does look like he'll put it up from anywhere. Dixon is – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Kimmy – if he can kind of be like a Matt Lawrence with a little bit more ability to drive to the hoop, which Matt Lawrence, let's be honest. Matt
so
Lawrence,
greater than zero,
yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, Kim English can handle the basketball. Matt Lawrence really never, that was a strong suit at all. No offense to Matt Lawrence, if Matt Lawrence is listening.
we love you, Goose.
Goose is awesome. Got to also give a shout-out to Miguel Paul because he played that game sick. He hadn't practiced all week, and he actually looked pretty good. He was on a lot of people's, you know, crap lists last year for just putting up ill-advised shots and really poor ball handling. But he looked far more confident with the ball. He made better decisions. And just in general, I thought he played pretty well.
Well, Paul's role this year is going to be, I mean, with Tiller and Taylor back, with Kimmy English at the three, well, or the third guard, you know, small forward.
Still three.
His role is really going to be, you know, he and Bowers, I guess, will really be the heads of that 8 minutes left in the first half unit where we try to, or 8 or 4 minutes left where we try to just run the other team off the court as they're starting to get tired.
Don't sleep on Dixon either. Yeah,
and
Dixon,
that's going to be
Dixon is the quickest player.
Let me ask this.
I mean,
the five fouls he had in the first half, when we're talking real games, how much of a concern is that? Like, what kind of.
I mean, it's a concern, but he's also not going to play 38 minutes in any game.
Yeah. It was a concern for JT a couple years back. Guy that was too fast for his own good.
No.
Yeah, Dixon is so quick.
He'll start working into the system, and I think he'll be better. Maybe not this year, but even if he only plays 10 minutes at most this year, it'll be a productive 10 minutes.
I'm a little bit concerned. The half-court offense, if we have one, is a little bit shaky because of the inside presence, but, man, this team is ridiculous in transition.
Yeah. I mean, put the team on the fast break. They're pretty much bound to score at least 2 points, almost guaranteed, but, you know.
Well, that is, I mean.
If they bring the ball up slowly, there's, you know, it's pretty much going to end with an outside shot because they have a lot of trouble working the ball inside.
Well, I do think, I mean, Bowers does seem to be the key in that regard because, I mean, Safford, he brings a lot of things to the table, but most of it's outside shooting. And Ramsey's just not a post-up, make-a-move kind of player. He's got a lot to give defensively and with putbacks and rebounds and everything, but he's not. If anybody's going to be able to score inside, it's going to be Bowers, and even he's, you know, what, 200 pounds?
Yeah, he's up to 200.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that is clearly a concern. It is funny, though, because earlier in the week, I was talking to a friend of mine. We pretty much agreed, I have no idea if this team's going to be any good, but God, I'm happy to have them back in my life. Because this is just the most high personality team you could possibly ask for. Even losing losing Damari Carroll, losing the the enigma that was Leo Lyons, and you know, Goose, of course. Still a lot to like about this team. That was probably the loudest ovation we heard during the football game today, was when the basketball team was announced. Another positivity note. Tomorrow, Missouri plays Nebraska in soccer. If they win, they win the Big 12.
We don't have men's,
so it's not really a...
I found this out recently.
Like 2 seconds ago?
No, not 2 seconds ago, but...
I think
like,
I told you this yesterday,
early, actually. Yeah, recently, in the past couple of days.
Yeah, so women's soccer.
Thank you.
And, you know, after last year, we talk about our Big 12 champions. They're all tournament champions. This would be the first outright conference title since softball did it about 12 years ago. Yeah, that was first year of the Big 12, so that would be a really nice thing. Brian Blitz, obviously he has a really, really experienced team this year that's probably going to take a step backwards next year. But, I mean, Seth and I were as vocal critics as we could have been, being that we don't really go to many soccer games. I'll say that right out front. But, yeah, he was just – this program was flailing a couple years ago, and he really, really turned it around in the last 2-3 years. So just like Tim Jamison did a couple years before that. Sticking with guys long-term really, really seems to pay off in Mike Alden's favor. And it's paying off here. If Missouri can if they win one of the next two games, they definitely win. And if they can manage a tie or even lose a couple, they still might win. But they can clinch it outright tomorrow. And I'm not going to be hypocritical and say you have to go because I've got data to crunch, you know. But anyway, you should go because you're a better fan than I am. And you know, go Mizzou and all that. Anything else? We have made our way up to 17 minutes of really not talking about anything. So,
do we want 3 minutes of around the Big 12?
Sure.
How about Texas A&M?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I might have gotten maybe 25% of my picks right this week, but I got that one. So I'll pound the chest. Yeah, even though I completely doubted it and said this is a terrible pick. This is such a weird conference this year. So many young teams, so many injury-prone teams. Tech was starting. Did Taylor Potts end up playing?
I think he started.
Okay.
He started. They were up 14-7 after two touchdown passes through the first quarter.
Okay.
A&M runs off 21 unanswered points in the second quarter, followed by 14 unanswered in the third before Seth Dagey finally came in and scored for Tech. Pulled it a little bit closer, and then they just traded touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, this really is a lot like 2006 in this conference as far as young players making lots and lots of contributions, and young players are just schizophrenic. And so Texas Tech, they look really iffy in September. They put back-to-back weeks together of, like, really the best back-to-back weeks in the conference so far in crushing Kansas State and Nebraska, which, of course, beating Kansas State and Nebraska is not that great, but they looked really, really good doing it. And then they lay a big fat egg at home, and A&M, who's looked awful the last 2 weeks, suddenly turns it around and wins easily.
Speaking of the conference, I was browsing through the live thread on my phone during the game because, you know, the game wasn't entertaining. And saw our old buddy from Rock Chalk Talk, Denver Jayhawks, saying, could a Big 12 North All-Star team beat Texas? I think that's a legitimate question.
Well, it depends. If it's the Texas who played like crap two weeks ago in Colorado, then yes.
Yeah.
But if it's the Texas who played today with a point to prove, Seth's given us the wrap it up signal here or something.
Goodness, boys.
Weren't you supposed to leave already?
Seriously.
Twice.
What the hell? But if it's the Texas who played today, then no. They had a purpose, and we were the victims.
Purpose.
Really, really two straight years where they came out with a point to prove, and we were the victims, and we just...
And hey, remember last year when we were the victims, and then we decided we were going to take out our anger of losing consecutive games on Colorado?
That's right.
That was fun. Let's do that.
Yeah, that's...
I would have no problem with that.
Well, they really... obviously, Colorado is... Well, I'm not even going to say competitive because they got smoked by K-State today. But
hey, I mean, what does Tim Griffin say about them?
It was 20-6.
Turn around! Tim Griffin... Taylor Hansen, turn it around. Colorado's not very good. We, at this point, we can't really say we're very good right now, but we've got the advantage in athleticism. A one-legged Blaine Gabbert is better than Tyler Hansen and Cody Hawkins.
Taylor Hansen's a guy.
Really, seriously. I got all the magazines.
Oh god. Family Guy jokes.
Yeah, because what else are we gonna, what else are we gonna talk about?
Actually, that's funny because the post game thread that just got put up had the Peter Griffin reference which SB Nation tagged Stanford linebacker Peter Griffin for us. So that's good.
So anyway, Colorado's terrible. in Boulder, if we lose the turnover battle like Kansas did to them, actually, they didn't lose the turnover battle, is that their turnovers were at their 3-yard line and they handed Colorado 2 touchdowns. If we make mistakes, we can lose this game. But if we just play well, we'll beat Colorado. We'll beat Baylor and Iowa State. Unless we turn the ball over 8 times. That's what it takes to lose to Iowa State. 7 almost wouldn't have gotten the job done. Yeah. 7 turnovers almost wouldn't have gotten the job done, but 8 was really the dagger. I can't wait to do the box score for that game and see that Nebraska was the first team to ever have 30 turnover points today. But there's really nothing else to say. If we play well, then we're heading to Kansas 8-3. But this is a young team. We could beat Colorado by 58 points again and then lay a big egg against Baylor, and it's a battle. So there's no way to know what to expect right now, but the schedule gets a whole hell of a lot easier, and it's going to be a lot more fun to watch, I think. So any other Family Guy references? Any soccer, baseball?
Anything? We're kicking off Positivity Week.
That's
yeah!
Right. And in the name of Positivity Week, even though obviously we did not win anything tonight, you will hear Brass Bonanza in its entirety to end this, because as annoying as the last 3 weeks have been, they're over, and it's time to turn the season around. So,
I agree.
So, get double whammy. I guess you get the darkness at the start and Brass Bonanza at the end.
That's right. And Boom agreeing with me. any Reggie Ball? Did we make?
No, Denario threw a very Reggie Ball-esque pass on that trick play they tried to run him.
He almost ran me over on that play too. That was the only play where a player was coming at me, and I'm waiting. I'm like, is he going to throw it away? Seriously, throw it away. Oh, my God. Oh, God. He's, like, 2 feet from me. I need to get out of the way.
He launched that ball.
Yeah, he threw that really
far. I much prefer him throwing the ball on the trick plays than Derek Washington, who accidentally threw it forward. I'm pretty sure that wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
Gabbert almost just tried to, like, bat the ball down to the ground, but he made the mistake of catching it.
You know what? It still doesn't beat, in terms of being worse, is when we tried to run the A-11 against Kansas last year at Arrowhead. And I think Patton threw it to Daniel, and Daniel just got rocked for a loss of about 25 or something.
When the quarterback is not lining up under center and he gets the ball thrown to him, like, yeah, don't mess around. He just light him up 17 different ways.
Unless it's Texas, in which case you're going to get flagged.
Yeah.
That is true.
But that's a better note to end this positivity podcast on.
Seth, it's Positivity Week.
I love me some positivity. And I'm positive I'm leaving the podcast now.
Well said.
You can't get analysis. You can't get analysis like this anywhere but Rockin' Nation.
Not from another car, you can't.
They don't call him the beat for nothing.
See everybody.
See ya.
Okay, let's peace out with some Brass Bonanza, and let's turn the was that a steamboat?
Boiler up.
I don't know. Wow. Okay. Well, on that note, Brass Bonanza, let's get the hell out of here. We're like the last car in the lot. And positivity.
We'll
get to positivity later in the week. I'm sorry to anybody who is still listening to this. Go Tigers!